Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Into the Darkness. Here you can richly paint in the outer limits of your voice, where dark ink becomes an odyssey of the imagination, told in crashing waves of turmoil as emotions are awakened and set to canvas in haunting fashion. I am Pam Ray. With me, as always, is my co-host, Intimidus Rex. Rex and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen, and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Tonight is our dark poetry night, and if you find that is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance to check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets on Amazon, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And hello, Rex. What's up?
Not a whole lot, just the temperature.
Yeah, I understand that. So what's yours up to?
Right now, 75.
75. Huh? That's not too bad, but I imagine earlier it had to be 90 or above.
Oh, we hit 99.
79? That's it?
99.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, now that's much hotter. That's much hotter, yeah. Yeah, we're at 75 right now, and we only got as high as, like, I think 92 was our highest. So, yep, it is definitely hot all over the world. That is for sure. And... well, I'm going to go ahead and let people know about our topics for tonight. We've kind of got mix and match. We've got carryovers from when we did Locust Swarm a couple weeks back. We ran an 8 spots only contest with a picture prompt. And then we have like 3 extra poems that people put on the board, which was, you know, absolutely fine because with that gives us a really nice mix for tonight. So I'm definitely looking forward to delving into tonight's dark poetry. And we've got a storm starting here. So, you know, hopefully the phone and internet will last through it. One just never knows in these neck of the woods. So what do you say there, Rex? Shall we go ahead and get this party started?
Yep. Remnants by EJ Cool. And you have a SoundCloud for that.
Wonderful. All right. And let me find that. Here we go.
Remnants by EJ Cool. Exoskeletal lamina hulls stuck together in violent collisions, sickeningly thick insectoid skulls, kamikaze pilots out of munitions. Crackling static blackens a carmine sky, frenzied locust colonies desiccate and decimate swaths of flora and fauna sucked dry. Colors melt away beneath the swarming mass, every dead gray pellicle and sun-parched blade of grass turns to bitter dust that blinds bleeding eyes and calcifies lungs in charcoal crust.
Wonderful read and write there, EJ. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in to read your poem, the next best thing is to make a recording, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Rex, your thoughts on this poem?
Well, certainly dark enough in the fact that defecation and decimation, there's not a damn thing left after this swarm comes rolling through. I like to start with the, kamikaze pilots out of munitions. Nice touch. Moving on to the next spot. Frenzied locust colonies, swaths of flora and fauna stuck dry. It's quite descriptive on the angle of what happens when the swarm comes and what is left when the swarm leaves.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree with you that it's a dark look at the horror and the damage caused by this mindless swarm that its just only intent is to feed itself. You know, I really liked this all the way through, but that where it says that where the third stanza, you know, desiccate and decimate, swallows the flora and fauna sucked dry, and then the next one after that, the couplet, colors melt away beneath the swarming mass, every dead gray pellicle and sun-parched blade of grass. Within those lines, there's a real sense of the total destruction, and I like how the mention of colors melt away beneath the swarming mass gives you the idea of the sheer amount of these locusts that come together into a swarm and how they just cover everything, you know. So just a wonderful dark brevity and some really nice alliteration in here, too, that I appreciated. So beautifully done. And what do you think for us, Mr. Rex?
Hell's Bells, Highway to Hell by Heavenly Angel. I guess that one's got to be yours.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Hell's bells ring, highway to hell, heavenly angel. A gray shadow passes beneath the moon, swarm of bats and demons, the unearthly, the ghostly, ethereal things, wanting to indulge in the taste of hot, sweet blood from innocents such as I. My every sense on full alert as I walk along. Deep within me, I know that tonight when the clock strikes midnight, all the evil things in the world will have full sway on the earth. Hell's bells will ring incessantly. In the smallest of silences, the sound of a scream penetrates the air, sending chills down my spine. Lightning is thrashing against the thundering sky to hail the arrival of intense evil. The breath of swarms of Satan's minions causing my skin to crawl with its cold touch. My guts are churning in stark terror. I stare into dark, blank eyes, black as night, with no soul, no life, empty of light. May God have mercy. The signs are all in place. I have stumbled onto the highway to hell. End poem. And Rex, your thoughts?
A different kind of swarm, the swarm of Halloween. Deep within me, I know this night when the clock strikes midnight, all the evil things in the world will have full sway on the earth. Hell's bells will ring incessantly. Nice tone with that. It's dark, but not overly dark, and a hint of the sort of All Hallows Eve opening up for that which the roam will roam on that evening, especially that evening. And what else? We got intense evil, the breath of swarms of Satan's minions. No soul, no light, no life, empty of light. And that's all. May God have mercy. Not tonight.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought this had great imagery. I thought, you know, it was an excellent dark right on that walk down the highway to hell. Obviously inspired by the famous song. And, you know, I do like how, as you said, it's a swarm of a different kind. It's that swarm of All Hallows Eve. It's that swarm of the pits and depths of hell. You know, and I really thought it kind of kept building up in intensity. You know, and I really like deep within me, I know that tonight when the clock strikes midnight, all the evil things in the world will have full sway on the earth. So wonderful dark lines and very well done. I found this meme on Facebook that said, and this cracks me up, due to inflation, dirty deeds will no longer be done dirt cheap. Sorry for the inconvenience. And what do you got for us next, Rex?
Beelzebub's Dance by Costas Lagos. Enter the swarm, the lord of the flies, king of the desert nights, ruler of nightmares. Fallen Babylon walks with him, desolate cities made on the sand, laughs as he licks bones, bleached under the scorching sun. A prince condemned to fly where filth rots the land. Foul is the ore of his subjects as they roam the land, as the sweet life. The ruins speak, the ruins sing, of fables forbidden, of stories untold. Beelzebub's kingdom, only flies thrive. The hawk refuses to fly. The panther denies his right to soar. Death plays the crooked melody in his violin. The swarm flies, wounds the desert, and lets it bleed. They were true. The mad Arab verses, painfully true. And poem.
Wonderful read there, Rex, and just an excellent Dark Light by Costas Lagos. I like how this takes us through a history of Satan and his dance and his many names, the Lord of the Flies, you know, the mention of the fall of Babylon, you know, a prince condemned to fly where filth rots the land, really reflects well, I think, on the whole idea of how, you know, Satan was, you know, once one of God's chosen angels and rejected. I really like the mention of Beelzebub's kingdom only flies thrive. The hawk refuses to fly. The panther denies his right to roar. Death plays a crooked melody in his violin. Wonderful imagery there on how hell is almost the concept of everything not being and working the way that it's supposed to. A wonderful thought-provoking Dark Light, and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
I said the Lord of the Flies, this well, King of the Desert Nights. I did like the inference to Babylon. There was a note to Babylon, the King of Babylon, thinking himself so worthy, so powerful, a God King on Earth that the hand of God came out and smite him in the moment. That kind of gives me a thought right with that one. And the angle with the desolate cities made on the sand, that kind of walks in the notion of all those that were Sodom, Gomorrah, and everything else that came beforehand and since, everything lies in ruin. Hey, you know what? Germany walked that way during World War II, ended up pitch black with their own stuff. Even the Soviets had to pay the price of their ruination. So they hit on the idea of, hey, once you sleep with the with old bones, there's no turning back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I knew I knew the Mad Arab sounded familiar, but I had to look it up. And that's actually a reoccurring character in H.P. Lovecraft novels. It's always cool to learn something new. You know, the one Bible story, and I don't remember the name of the family, and it's a very small story. Like, it didn't even take about a full chapter, obviously. But there was, in the Old Testament, there was a story of a family who disobeyed, and their tent, them and their tent and everything that belonged to them, the earth opened up, swallowed them, and then closed. And I don't know, that story always, out of all the stories, and there's a lot of horrifying stories in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, just really shook my nerves to the core. And the whole idea of one moment somebody is, a family is there and everything that belongs to them, and one moment they're just completely covered. But that's what I was. I thought about that when you were making the comment. All right, Rex, what do we got next?
A Nice Bagatelle, number 2, by Jack Blue. That one's yours.
All right. A swarm of sharp discord or chromatic doubt endlessly defies my sword in the rhythm of hell and buzzes away glissando, only to be back crescendo. My sword resounding grace continues to be dancing bright, but the swarm of dissidents covers all the greenery, withering them or maddening in the infernal symphony. Can my silver sword be fighting silently against the colorful discord, swarming to the ensemble? Let my sword be brave if it slumbers on the grave. End poem. And Rex, your thoughts?
I like the angle of sound he's setting on the swarm of sharp discord. Rhythm of hell, buzz away glissando, only the back crescendo. A note of the sound the sword makes as it whips through the air, yet it is not actually making enough contact to fight back the horde itself. And it's on this note of a resounding grace, continuously dancing, but the swarm of dissonance is the infernal symphony, the sound that won't be quieted. And the back end of this, to let my sword be brave if it slumbers on the grave, kind of hints at the note of death in the moment if you can't get past the swarm itself.
I like that, kind of the idea. It made me think of that phrase, it's a good day to die. I like that you mentioned, you brought up the discord, because, you know, to me this really was about that kind of lack of harmony in a people and a land, and the knight trying to bring everyone back together, trying to find that semblance of peace. And the idea that oftentimes, you know, peace isn't found unless somebody fights for it. I really like this all the way through, but especially that second stanza with when you use the word swarm, but the swarm of dissonance covers all the greenery, withering or maddening in the infernal symphony. Just a wonderful use of sound, how that repetitive sound, that buzzing of discord can just really work the last nerve. So excellent write and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Rex?
King of the Swarm by K-Dance Kincaide. I sat alone on this throne as no king, for this castle I cannot see. Darkness devours all surrounding me, stone after stone. My entire soul falls apart. The crown jewel I once called a heart is turned to crumbles as the pores stop. Inside this classroom it must not be forgot. Casting rock could shatter all you got. The focus of the locust becomes blind to see. The swarm that's beneath the cloud devours any light that could be seen. I hear the new wings of despair fill the air. The plague of locusts that has been haunting me has arrived at my door, ready to feed. I stand but lose my feet. The ground gives way underneath. I try to breathe, but they consume my lungs. Out of my eyes, my life plays in disregard. I no longer breathe, but then my heart beats. But not with love, just revenge. As I become new king of this swarm, I'm in. End poem.
Great read there, Rex. I thought this was a wonderful dark write. I thought it had a great flow to it. I really like how he took the concept of the swarm on a metaphorical level, like the idea of those dark thoughts that plague our mind. I like how it became about first standing on your own against, you know, the swarm, against the evil, and then becoming not only part of it, but this new king of this swarm, of this darkness that at first you rejected and then you embraced and then became king of. So just a wonderful dark rite. Very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Kind of had me thinking of the mummy, the scorpion thing. But there is a bit in here. What was it? Casting a rock could shatter all you got. Implication of being those who throw stones should not live in glass houses. Or be careful what you ask for. You may get it in return and you won't like the outcome. Plagalotus is haunting me as I arrive at my door ready to feed. I stand and lose my feet, the ground gives away underneath. They consume my lungs, but that hits on the idea of today's non-functional, illiterate swarm across the internet, that crowd of creatures willing to tear you apart and feed you to the dogs and cancel you out. And then on the back end of this, yes, on that notion, hey, if you can't beat them, join them, which kind of beefs up that the idea of joining in the nonsensical, because if you're willing to stand up to begin with, you might as well see it through.
Absolutely. Well said there, Rex. Great observation. And what do we have next?
Shortage by Julie Buck. Well, Shortage of Insight.
All right. Shortage of Insight by Julie Buck. It wasn't a shortage of insight nor a surplus of indifference. Revelations come and go like an unwanted swarm of locusts. They are sharp and colorful. I appreciate them and appropriately acknowledge their annihilation. However, further manifesting won't matter because no more will I become branded or valid intrusion. Too many, too many. And yes, I feel no infusion. I squeeze the good out of all I touch. I've turned to dust, waiting, wanting so much for my one bony long finger to feel the same understanding that those ghastly others claim to have. Notice how I still sit so very quiet, putrid sin, mind calm, hands open, head humbly bowed, a pre-mocking toothy grin, and nothing. Why? Why don't I hear the broadcast of that one vision that will set my life to sail? I want my entitled epiphany, and I want it now, damn it. Or maybe I'll just take myself to hell. End poem. And that's just an excellent dark light by Julie. And your thoughts, Rex?
Short-sightedness. Ease of want, but not willing to work for it. Shortage of insight, surplus indifference. Revelations coming to them like an unwanted swarm of locusts. Short, colorful, I appreciate them. And then kind of throw them away. But that one line, I want my entitled epiphany, I want it now, damn it. There's a notion in that of actually, yo, I'm owed it, I don't have to work for it. Now give it to me. As though, yo, maybe if you actually coughed up a thought, you might find yourself on the path that you wish to go to. And the threat of, maybe I'll just take myself to hell. Well, hey, you know what? If that makes you happy, have at it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I like how this felt like about those swarms of opinions that never help. I thought it had clever and biting lines. You know, I liked the look inward at the idea of those bony fingers that point you know, and that idea of that dissatisfaction in life and almost a childlike temper tantrum. So really just strong lines and very well done. And what do we got next, Rex?
Devour by Arcana. And you have a SoundCloud.
All right. Mosey on over and to, let me find that. Here we go.
Darken skies, weep writhing conscious clouds, like some great hovering mass they descend, enveloping, eating, encompassing, eating, engulfing, eating, devouring, eating, gorging, eating, forever eating. They strip the land of everything remotely edible. This seething blight of gluttonous, masticating mandibles, teeming, unstoppable, uncaring, ravenous, remorseless, insatiable are they, surging in waves of humming hunger. This apocalypse, infused with insects' intent, claims dominion. Myriads of black, emotionless eyes seek to be sated, creeping and crawling in cascading plagues of fury, leaving a path of desolate destruction in their wake. Frenzied wings drown the air with a static drone. There is no escape, no reprieve, no respite, as they ravage and pillage, gang raping virgin fields, pulsing in whirring pools of prophetic starvation. This scourge of infested minds mull man's naivety, for surrendering such feasts to their invading army.
Wonderful read and write, Arcana. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Rex, your thoughts on this write?
Great alliteration. The intonation was done well as the deep and thought to the voice itself. The finishing off that first stanza, enveloping, eating, encompassing, eating, engulfing, eating, devouring, eating, gorging, eating, forever eating. A nice build up in tone to finish off that first stanza itself. And then it's a masticating mandibles, ravenous, remorseless. Nice touches of just how dark it can get, and then it's over the last frenzied wings drown the air with static drone. So that's a nice thought to just hearing that incessant buzz that won't go away, and you know what's coming, and you can't do a damn thing about it. And on the back end, the scourge of infested minds, mole man's naivete, befriending such feasts to their invading army. Darkness.
Absolutely. And you're right. This does have wonderful alliteration, wonderful dark imagery. I like how this is, it takes the idea of the swarm of locusts and uses it as both a story that goes into the kind of a sci-fi realm, but also the idea of the greed of mankind. Like, I feel like it makes a great extended metaphor for the destruction that comes from greed. I did too, like that repetitiveness, that eating, devouring, eating, gorging, eating, forever eating. It's like this insatiable appetite that is never satisfied, that always must see death and destruction. I also really like that ending with there's no escape, no reprieve, no respite as they ravage and pillage, gang-raping virgin fields, pulsing and whirling pools of prophetic starvation. The darkness within it is just, it's very intense, but beautifully written and very well done. All right. And what do you got for us next, Rex?
Prayers by Thomas B. Out of Africa they came. As they spread, the changes they created left no continent the same. As they spread, trials and tribulations created change after change. Like rain upon the earth, everything changed with them. They grew into a force, and with the force, armies. Their armies flowed across the continent, conquering everything before them, and then were conquered in turn by the next force to sweep through. Death, destruction, art, and attempts at civilization, kingdoms, religions, and the beginning of records appeared. Man is a vain creature and wants to be seen. More importantly, this creature wants to make an impression and never be forgotten. Ensure that this is the only way. He struck out from the village, grew cities, conquered lands, and kept discovering another man had been hit there before him. Earth groaned as mines were dug, forests hewn, plains sown, and rivers rerouted to suit the demand of man. Man at one time thought the earth was endless, and all the gifts they needed were to be found upon it. Man expanded, grew, and slew until he discovered limits. There is no cage. There is no box. There is no way man can be contained. Locusts sweep the earth and are counted as plague. But no horde has ever swept so much before it as this growing army of man. The destroyer kills his own children as a right to cleanse the world and prepare it for his cause. He demands the right to take every resource, make it serve his needs, and damn all that resists. Now he realizes he has drained the surf. The swarm grows with no place to conquer or receive man's so-called gifts. All that is left is time and space. Then the swarm will rise to lay waste. It matters not what the cost. It matters little who will suffer. When man rises and rockets aloft, learns to bend time so he can live again and again with all his trophies, all those he had made bend the knee to his glory. This is not greater. There is not greater locust God has created than this horde that prays for love, steals for plenty, and consumes everything it claims it needs to survive. And poem.
Great read there, Rex. And this is definitely a wonderful dark rite taken on a kind of a metaphorical level in the idea that mankind is the greedy swarm, and how the greed of people destroys the earth, and powerful right all the way through. I really liked though the stanza starts with man is a vain creature and wants to be seen. More importantly, this creature wants to make an impression and never be forgotten. Righteous and sure, his way is the only way. And then the stanza after that, man at one time thought the earth was endless and all the gifts they needed were to be found upon it. And the idea that, we had everything we needed, but kept wanting more and more and more, and brought this suffering not only to the earth, but to ourselves as well. So beautifully written and very well done. And Rex, you did an excellent read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, Tom makes a great case for the essay length of us being near the locust, so to speak. But he also with all this, as I guess on the back end of things, we have been swatted a number of times by Mother Earth herself. So I don't see her giving way anytime soon as we keep mounting up anything else that takes a huge chunk out of the world of us. And it'll keep coming as time progresses. We forget there are things that happen in cycles. And when the cycles return, hey, we kind of disappear in one age and come up again in another age, forgotten of all that came before because nobody bothered putting it in a safe place so that we can actually learn in the past.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well said there, Rex. All right, and what do we have next?
The Swarm or Not the Swarm by Truth Chills. That one's yours.
All right. It's amazing that humanity has lasted as long as it has without blowing every last person to shreds. I often wonder how we escape a madman's rant right before he takes himself out along with half the block's children. There are many faces of evil. How can you tell which one stares back at you when you pile in on your church's pews? Silent but deadly are the thoughts that own those filled with hatred, moved by the whispers of insanity that sing praises to the idols that require their love for vanity. Loud is the propaganda that blares from our mechanical possessions. We invest our dollars in the hinges and the things that will be the end of us. Reality is now the fantasy in this money-grubbing hand exposing society. If giving was an epidemic, we would never be in danger of extinction, nor would our pockets be in danger of depletion. Complaints ring out about our cities being infected by the homeless, standing on corners on off and on ramps. Desperate times demand desperate measures. What once used to be joy to do has become a way to desecrate good men and women. Instead of being concerned about their welfare and question what happened, they are quick to judge not from a haughty place, but one of fear that reflects their own face. Half our country disguise themselves as for the people, ready with pen and paper to debate unrealistic measures to soothe the souls of the overpaying tax contributors. The other half are anti-everything that the law establishes in those long-winded Congress meetings. They, too, are for the people, as long as they swarm to riot for rebellious reasons. The world is lost to its own ruthlessness. The same demands and commands from the weaker will come when the much-deserved judgment from the executioner. So I say, break away from the swarm. Teach yours to stand on their own and be ready for when they sound the alarm. End poem. And Rex, your thoughts?
Oh, the best thing I get out of this is it hits on the notion of the loss of faith and morality. Because once that is gone, society is destined to fall in on itself. And we're getting pretty close to that right now.
Absolutely. Yep. Well said there. Yeah, I liked this write. I thought it had a lot of great thought-provoking lines. I thought it was a great dark write looking at society nowadays and how important it is to teach the next generation to stand up to that crowd mentality. So excellent write and very well done. And what do we got next?
To the insects. By Peter Solway. Spiders to tremble, humans to itch. Beware, beware, the night of the insects. No more to rest, watch war of the worlds, nor big cat's root, the night of the insects. Evolution repeating itself, Darwin back in womb, dumb as hungry sperm, the night those stings return. End of book reading, lovers on the lawn, circles of Pythagoras to spilt, multiply. the night a million more are born. Crawl up nasal caverns, down tight rectums, and erase your baptized name, the night a million more are born.
A wonderful dark twisted rite about those creepy crawly insects that go up the nasal cavities and up the rectum and everything else while we sleep. I like that there was those lines about the evolution repeating itself. To me that was a great main focus of the rite, is that idea that evolution repeats itself as swarms become the top feeders. So wonderful, thought-provoking lines, and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Oh. Night of the insects, night of the insects, the night the sting is a turn, the night a million more are born, the night a million more are born. It's on the great cycle of things and how it works, but the back end of this hits on the idea of how all of us become worm food and insect remains. Crawl up nasal caverns, down tight rectums, and erase your baptized name. The night a million more are born, and the night flesh disappears.
Absolutely. I like that thought. That's the best. And what do we got next?
Kids with Stained Glass Hearts by Unholy Bambino. That one's yours.
Callous Memories, just another sinner, but different from you. I have humble roots. I'm not the same kid you once fooled, but scorned for your sick and twisted joy. Play me like a piano. I'm your very own symphony. I pity you because you have no ballad, no sky, no heart, just empty and stolen and poem. And Rex, your thoughts?
No morality, no code of ethics, no je ne sais quoi, so to speak. There's that note of humble roots, but then again, I'm not the same kid you once fooled. And that notion of fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Your sick and twisted joy. It's a kind of hits on the notion of abuse.
Yeah, I have to agree. It does, especially within those lines, even the title itself. A powerful dark brevity all the way through. It's haunting, emotive, and there's that idea, I think, of walking away from the person who has hurt you, having nothing to do with them, and saying, you know what, I don't have to. All you get from me is like pity, and that's it. You don't let them control your life. And I'm not the same kid you once fooled. Just an excellent write and very well done. And, all right, what do we got next, Rex?
The Dragon's Reprise by Arcana. You got sound five.
All right.
Midst seething smoke of dragon's breath, she speaks her sorcery upon ears of death. Her chants call out through cloak of night to summon demons to serve her plight. Dressed in darkness, midst willowy wiles, she weaves her spells with solemn smiles, seeking rebirth for a forlorn head, who now resides amongst the dead. He served her well, this beast of fire, whose blazing tongue spewed flaming pyre. Now just his skull is all that's left. With languorous heart, she's left bereft. Her tears weep ebony seas of sorrow, where absent wings no longer follow. She pours enchantments of blackest magic to flesh his bones so bare and tragic. This dragon's demise in empty skies now tries to rise from death's disguise, midst glowing eyes so bright and wise. He snorts a song of roared reprise. Within this pall of swirling mist, she hears the voice so sadly missed. I return unto thee, my faithful queen, to saw the shadows we ride unseen. Together we'll soar above the clouds. Come ride my back through ebony shrouds, and fly the seas of endless pitch, just you and I, my loyal witch.
Great, great read and write of Akana. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. He had actually written for the picture prompt. He had the contest had closed, so he couldn't get into the contest, but he put it on the board. And the picture, for people who can't see it, it has a black, like wavy black ground, almost looks like silk or like, I can't quite describe it, but it's black, and there's this girl laying down, and she's holding a skull. And I think The Dragon's Reprise is really a great title, and that he focuses on dragons. A dragon in this story is wonderful because you almost can see it as being a dragon skull. It's very elongated, almost kind of like a skull you would see in a Georgia O'Keeffe painting, like of a dead buffalo. But I like that he went with the dragon. And she's holding that, and she's laying down, and her eyes are closed, and there's mist coming surrounding them, you know. And it's, you know, I ran in the contest and chose that picture because I wanted to see what people would get from it. I thought this was great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery, a wonderful dark mythological tale of this kind of like connection between two beings. I really like that he spelled magic with the K. I like when people do little details like that that make a difference in the presentation of the rite. Her tears weep ebony seas of sorrow, where absent wings no longer follow. She pours enchantments of black as magic, to flesh his bones so bare and tragic. And then within this pall of swirling mist, she hears the voice so sadly missed. I return on to thee, my faithful queen, to soar the shadows we ride unseen. I like how there is that emotional connection, and that, you know, it has that idea of, you know, like a necromancer, the power to bring back the dead. And she chooses to bring back her beloved dragon. So beautifully written and very well done. And Rex, your thoughts?
Nice dark tale, rich, colorful. I like the music in the background. It had a nice beat to it. Did everything that sat in this, that third from the bottom stanza kind of hit the nice note of its alliterative value. This dragon's demise in empty skies now tries to rise from death's disguise. midst glowing eyes so bright and wise, he snorts a song of roared reprise. And I did like that sort of, if he'd kept a nice tempo throughout, if he'd offered up a slightly different change in voice to read those last six lines, I think he would have given the dragon a bit more notes of life in that moment.
Oh, there's a good thought. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Excellent comment. And, all right, what do we got next?
Bunny by Benedict S. Raven. Hop, hop, little bunny, run away from this place. Run from this place and keep your pace. Run and don't look back, little bunny, for this world is cruel and bloody. Hop, hop, like a bunny do. Hop, hop, little bunny, for it will come for you. Save yourselves from the darkness that strays, keeping mind clear, yet counting the ever-growing days.
Wonderful read there, Rest. And Benedict S. Raven is fairly new to writing for late night poets. I think this is their first write they've put into one of our one of our dark shows. So I really appreciate seeing them, and I hope we get to see more of their poetry. I told them that I thought this was a wonderful dark brevity. I liked the lyrical quality and the repetitive lines. And I felt like that the repetitive lines of, hop, hop, and little bunny really added to the creepy feeling. It comes across as, to me, as innocence being pursued by evil. I thought it was wonderful because they said they didn't write a lot of dark rites, so I thought it was wonderful they stepped out of their own box, their own comfort zone. And really, I felt delved into the mind of a serial killer pursuing their next victim. So excellent write and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
I'll go with beat feet, lest those lucky rabbit feet of yours becomes rabbit paws for somebody else's pockets and luck, which is never yours.
That is a cool thought. I like that. Yep, because definitely isn't lucky to be the rabbit at that point. So, all right, and what do we have next?
Carcass by Diane D. and SoundCloud.
All right. Here we go.
Carcass by Diane D. In watery graves, skeleton fingers grasp a hecatomb of the cadaver. Liquid linen cape her hollow form. Unholy are sacrificial sin offerings. Where the mutinous virgin sleeps, mass desertation makes ripples that offer the casket of the pond to him abiding the slaughter yard. To rest floatingly in her catacomb, with the atonement on her chest, which she will place on the altar as an olive branch from the eagles. Her trespasses swirl the streams with heads of decaying carcasses sent to gatekeepers of the water to sacrifice one's purity as divinity. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Diane. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Rex, your thoughts?
Oh, no. A couple of thoughts. Mutinous virgin sleeps.
there is a note to death in this, but there's also a thought to rebirth, sacrifice one's purity as divinity. There's that notion of a second baptismal. But then again, you hit in water your grave skeleton, saying his grasp, hectocomb of the cadaver, liquid linens, caper, hollow form, unholy, a sacrificial sin offering. That kind of hits the notion of actual sacrifices. But then again, that might be the thought of, because of the restful language, maybe that's the notion of olden days of being born out to the marriage, a place for holding kingdoms together.
I like that. That's a nice layer of thought. Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful dark rite. I really like how it does, you know, offer up thoughts on death. To me, it really felt like the idea of someone who had judgment casted against them. I like how Diane used the imagery in the picture to become part of the story, part of the metaphors. I really like where the mutinous virgin sleeps mass exhortation makes ripples that offers the casket of the pond to him abiding the slaughter yard. It kind of makes me think of the book, The Scarlet Letter, and the idea of someone cast out of a society because they did not live up to the society's standards. I thought this was just really thoughtful all the way through and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Rex?
Blackwater by Cedar Chapman. That one's yours.
All right. Blackwater by Cedar Chapman. Bats and blackbirds flutter over me. A zoetrope of headlights pass by. Hollow eyes leer at my patent leather and heels. A slab of prized meat hanging. Your sullen skull burrows my breast with each heavy breath. Cigarette smoke and whiskey rye consume the car until I can breathe no more. I lay on black water, floating, counting seconds. Each tick and tock cuts me like a frigid razor ripples, slicing into an iceberg. I am bleeding. Drip, drop, drip, drop. The devil sings me a lullaby. His wistful melody numbs me. I close my eyes as dry tears seep down my face and wake to stand by flickering street lamps, greeting me once more. End poem. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, the opening up is easy enough. She's a night walker, for one thing. And the second one's even just picking up the angle of her next trick. That third stanza is the escape, that realm of ticking in the moment until it's all over. And then the back end, the devil sings me a lullaby. His whistle melody numbs me. I close my eyes. It drives this. There's a kind of notion of not really wanting, but understanding the need, and back on the street once more to pick up the next trick, to repeat, wash, rinse, rinse, repeat, until the night is blended into the next day.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I had a similar thought about the whole idea of turning the next trick and, trying to, having that kind of hope of getting away. I thought it had a strong imagery and metaphors. It was a powerful dark rite. And I like how he told it in a first-person narrative, and the idea of the turmoil that happens within the mind, within the spirit, when the body is treated like a slab of meat. I really like this all the way through. It had a very raw edge to it, and it was particularly the middle two stanzas that really caught my attention. You know, I lay on black water floating, counting seconds. Every tick and tock cuts off like frigid rays or ripples. They're just that idea of just trying to get lost inside yourself as you're waiting for this horrific moment to just end and be over with. So an excellent dark rite and very well done. And what do we got next?
Shattering Perception of a Changeling by Achromatic. A changeling took her skin, broke her bones, mashed her innards, and discarded all memory down a lonesome, jagged cliff. All sleepy, sheepful eyes are blind by beauty. The real ones can see the demon using her spinal column to drag itself through gnashing teeth. Behind a vivid smile hides a defile no god has ever seen. It should scare you, as it does me. And Paul.
Great read there, Rex. Yeah, I really liked this one. I thought Achromatic did a wonderful job of packing a lot into a brevity. The imagery was visceral. It was vivid. I liked how this spoke to me on how that battle with evil that lives within us, and that realization that our own perception of ourselves has been shattered, as the title says. And I really like the imagery of demon using her spinal column to drag itself through gnashing teeth. Behind a vivid smile hides a defile no god has ever seen. It feels like someone pushed to the edge and seeing the horror of themselves for the first time. So excellent, dark rite. And Rex, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I think it's the reality in self, the understanding that one knows in the moment when clarity hits and you understand that thing that's been hiding inside, you're finally aware of and you don't like what you see. So it hits on that notion of behind a vivid smile, hides a defile no god has ever seen. It should scare you as it does me. There's that mirrored image, look in the moment, understanding just what and who you are in the moment, because you've seen that darker angle that's been hiding itself but doesn't care anymore. It has now risen to the surface to take control.
I like that. I like that. Great thoughts shared. Thank you. All right. What do we got next?
Since I Lost You to the Darkness by Forgotten Dream. That one's yours.
All right. I cloaked myself in death, painting lips in shades of midnight, pressed tightly together beneath shadowed eyes, laying silently in black corners, obsidian sheets and tomy, sinking deeper into silky darkness. Tiny tombstone nails sit at tips of crossed wrists, training for a vicennial under damp earth. Limbs root, searching for vestiges of you, echoes of crooked smile and imprints of fingertips. Eyes fluttering behind gossamer lids as body sprouts into bright lemon daffodils, waiting for butterfly you to touch me softly again. And poem. And Rex, your thoughts?
It's a nice, pleasant tone of death with a touch of sensuality to it. I quote myself in death, painting this in shades of midnight, pressed tightly together beneath shattered eyes, laying black corners of obsidian sheets and tombing. Tiny tombstone there. It hits on the back end of death, but that last stanza hits on the idea of rebirth through the pushing up of daisies, so to speak. Eyes fluttering behind gossamer lids as body sprouts into bright lemon daffodils, waiting for for butterfly you to touch me softly again. There's that note to sensuality, but done as that sort of hey, I'm pushing up daisies. Well, somebody please give me a little sweet kiss in a moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is that touch of sensuality. And it does have some very, like, just kind of delicate imagery, like the bright lemon daffodils. I thought this had a very haunting feel to it. I thought it felt like that idea of waiting for that love that digs into your mind. And, you know, I like how it comes as across as a voice speaking from the beyond, waiting to embrace that person again. So wonderful write and very well done. And what do we got next?
New Breed by Scott Sharp. Second waves pool under her. Waves through time and space initiate bovine metamorphosis. The alien calf carries forth life in the new world, the new state. Birth humans, transmutation, leaving distant stars behind. Tales of light and minerals far into this planet, hidden in her DNA. The only sign of her past existence in the dying star cluster, Caroline's Rose, along the parallel in time from the original Earth at the far reaches of the Milky Way. And poem.
Great read, Rex. And a wonderful dark tale by S. Sharp. You know, I really like Scott's style. I like that he put this epic tale into a brevity. I really like the sci-fi in it, the new state, birth, human transmutation, leaving distant stars behind, tales of light and minerals foreign to this planet hidden in her DNA. It's almost like this idea of the idea of what we lose and the monstrosities that happen when we try to create perfection. At least that's the thought that comes to my mind. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, that's it on the idea of that which comes through from the outer limits of the void, so to speak. We think things here are, you know, one of those million atmospheres. That may be so, but then again, this planet was seeded from outer space. Everything from the heavy metal, the gold, the silver, palladium, right down to carbon, nitrogen, everything else, plus those little tidbits of molecular strands of DNA, which eventually led our way. But it does hit on that notion. Also, most of us don't understand the thought of what a light year consists of, and that's quite the distance in thought. And you've got to really, really, got to look at the idea of what that is. Light travels 186,000 miles per second. That is 11 million miles an hour. And 670 million miles for a day. And over the course of a year, it's something like 5 trillion miles. Somewhere right around there, anyway. And they think the space is empty, but it's not. It's actually full of particles. It's full of water. There's a ton of water out there. We just don't really know about it because nobody speaks of it. Yet it is there. It is the interstellar medium, which is us. I like
Oh, very different. Cool. Yeah, I have to agree. It is different. And, you know, wonderful thoughts shared there, Rex. I like the little extra tidbits of information that connected well with the write itself. All right, what do we got next?
Ash by Lex is next. That was yours.
My lungs still burn from breathing in smoke as I put out the fires that once raged in me. I am damaged, forgotten, and unwanted. My tears have smothered the light that burned from within, burned of hope and peace. By now, I'm just left with the ashes. They smear as they touch my skin, sapping out that light, leaving only darkness in its place. Light and fire are long forgotten, but their longing still remains, wishing for the time when every day wasn't a fight of rekindling. Oxygen, it seems, will not return, for I have forgotten what it feels like to be free. But maybe I don't want to be free. I know nothing else, no other feelings are known anymore. The only true happiness I feel is when I cut into the trees that once lit this fire turn red as their years start to show. So maybe I don't want to be free. Forever lost in these ashes is where I'm meant to be. End poem. And Rex, your thoughts.
Oh, all right. The rage. The rage is the fight, the anger within, not being able to express or understand the nature or the vehemence of the rage. So the angle of the thought is the cutting is what kind of helped quell the rage, because it gives a focused angle in the moment. You can feel the cut, and it easily ebbs off, sloughs off that rage that is ready to burst forth, which you don't want to do. So the cutting becomes that angle of thought to control, and even in its hardest bit, it's a release valve which keeps you sane in the moment. And that thought is so maybe I don't want to be free, forever lost in these ashes where I'm meant to be. The idea of the ashes, if you let that conflagration out again, there might be something in turn that occurs that you cannot control in the moment, which kind of pushes one over the edge.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, the idea of not being able to control something. So, I thought this worked really well. It felt like to me the type of poem about the self-destruction, of being truly unaware of what it means to be free, and the idea to me of convincing oneself that the situation you're in is exactly where you want to be. Like as you said, that pile of ashes, being exactly what you want to be beneath. I like how there's kind of this idea of an emotional struggle and turmoil within, this idea of going back and forth, of one moment wishing for the light, for the fire, for the freedom, and the next just wanting to be buried beneath the ash. So excellent write and very well done. And what do we got next?
She Don't Belong in the River Styx by Darkandora. With mighty beast skull crest upon her chest, she swept across Charon's River Styx. Like silken sheets, haunted hands guided her, pushing and pulling a body that's transfixed. Head held slightly above the contaminated water, led gently so that she would not choke. They know she did not belong there and tried to contain her, hidden within the souls of smoke. She didn't have a coin to pay, for she wasn't really dead. The beast that she killed in life had killed her in her head. And poem.
Great read, Rex, and a wonderful dark write by Darkandora. I really liked the twist at the end of this. I like how she takes us into a tale of Charon and the River Styx, and the idea of that, the spirit being transferred after death. I like the imagery in the second stanza with they knew she did not belong there and tried to contain her hidden within the souls of smoke. I really like the phrase souls of smoke. And I like how you come to realize at the end that this isn't about a physical death, but rather about an emotional death, a spiritual death, about that demon, that beast from within that murders your sense of self. So wonderful, Dark Rite, and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Like silk and sheets, haunted hands guided her, pushing and pulling the body that's transfixed. That could be the ferryman offering up contaminated water. Right? That hits on another contaminated life. So, and no choke, she's not dead. There is a thought to maybe the angle of metamorphosis paying tribute in the falsity of death because she has killed somebody, so to speak, and he had killed her in her head. So the idea is to run this angle through the river Styx itself, run that thought on Karen's boat. You don't have a coin, so you don't actually get to visit and cross over because you have to pay the ferryman. So it's kind of a note to not physically, but kind of transposing into a new life from the old one that was bleak and crusted.
Absolutely. I like that. Great thoughts shared. All right. Well, great show tonight, Rex. Thank you, as always, for being here. thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Rex, any upcoming contest shows that you'd like to mention?
Come and paint it black. Take what you can out of a line stanza, mix and match the paint it black from the stones, and see what you bring with it.
Very cool. Sounds like it's going to be an awesome contest and show. I'm looking forward to that. And make sure to join us tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, for Fill My Eyes and Company with Poetry. And make sure to keep an eye out on the topic board for contests and topics put up by all our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses. For contests that I have that I need rights, I have for next week, Twisted Tuesdays presents The Art of Boris Olshansky, Art of Seduction, Imagination, and Curiosity, and Break On Through, Taishin Sam Shai, Haishi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm going to have to learn the pronunciation. But I definitely recommend people check those out and see if you're inspired. And have a good night, everyone, and have a good night, Rex.
All right. Good night.